This is Gary Carpenter. I just wanted to let you know that we had some major audio technical difficulties during the first 7.5 minutes of this message. We have done our best to correct the audio, but be encouraged, after about the first 7.5 minutes, the audio quality is back to normal. Be blessed as you hear His Word today.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I heard that. Go ahead and open up to John 14. I discovered something this morning while I was just in prayer and quiet time. As always, you know, the mandate here, what we've been taught by Pastor Dave, when you go minister, especially in a teaching capacity, where you're ministering to believers, the goal is not to preach what you know, although we do. I mean, what I mean is the goal is not to preach what you know. The goal is to preach what you hear. In other words, what is he saying to the body right now? And so there's always a seeking time. It'd be different in a Bible study. Like a Bible college setting, you know, like we're teaching a course on the gifts of the Spirit, or we're teaching a course on what is praying in tongues, or something like that. But when it's like this, and we're all trying to follow him into a full-blown revival, then the goal is to follow his leadership, even when it comes to the teaching. So I was up, just like my normal practice, and praying and listening this morning, and he showed me something that I didn't realize was happening. And if you go look at the teachings that he's had me do here on December 15th of this past year, he had me teach a lesson called The Works of the Father. The Works of the Father. And it has to do with a tongue and an interpretation that he had spoken through me many years ago. And I brought it with me. If we may or may not read that whole thing today. But the point was, there's no such thing as a revival without the works of the Father. Not a God-given, supernatural, world-changing revival. The works of the Father, it has to be manifest. And you're in John 14. Yes, sir. Okay, before I get into that, what he showed me was this. That was December 15th. And from then until Wednesday night, Wednesday night we finished John chapter 17. I didn't realize that all those teachings that he's had me do, for the most part, December 15th through Wednesday night, is all on the same thing. And that's how the works of the Father is going to be manifest through us. It took us methodically through it. Look at this, John 14, look at verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, now notice, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. In that breath, almost in the same breath, is our mandate verse for the prayer center. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now what if we worded it this way? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the Father shall do the same works through him that he's doing now through me. And really, he's explaining John 14, 15, 6, I am the vine, you are the branches. Everything that we've looked at, he is teaching and expounding and explaining the role of the Holy Spirit, why he has to be glorified and take on a different form so that his Spirit could be within us. All of that, he's teaching through this. And then he concludes, and I go to John 17, right near the end of it, and he concludes that teaching with this. He starts off, the works that I do, you're going to do them also. This ministry is not going to stop. It's going to continue, even though I'm leaving the planet. It's the Father in me doing the works, and He's going to be doing in you doing the works. The works are going to continue. And then look at the detail here, and starting in verse 22 of John 17. And the glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them. That's sonship. Being a son of Adam to being a child of God. That standing of sonship. And because of that, that they may be one, I in them, and Thou in me. That's how the works of the Father are to continue. I in them, and Thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And again, that's that vertical oneness. Same one that He had. I and my Father are one. Well, now, we and Christ and the Father are one. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. I in them, and Thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know. Boy, now there it is. That's revival. That the world may know. Why are they going to know? Because they're about to see the same works. The same works are going to be done because it's the Father in Christ and Christ in us, our hope of glory. And the world will even know when those same works are being done, that Thou hast sent me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved me. All right. Now, today, I brought two documents, and I think we have time to do both of these. I'm going to read again the same document that I read on December 15th. Yeah, the title of that message was The Works of the Father.
You are rewarded for my works. Speak not of those things that you have done for me, or shall do for me, or are doing for me, for they are worthless, they are works, and they are not considered. Speak of and rejoice in those things that I do for you, that I have done for you, and that I shall do for you, and that I do through you. For these are the works of God. Those things that I do through you, these are the works that shall be accounted to you as reward on that day.
Every day that passes, your mind grasps hold a little more of the revelation of I in you. I am your only hope of glory. It is I, the living Christ in you, working through you, speaking through you, delivering through you. This is the work of God, that you believe that I am in you, and thereby believing in Him who sent me. Does that sound like John chapter 18? 17, excuse me. John chapter 17. Christ in you is your hope of glory. Trust me and not yourself. Speak of my work in you and not your own. Glorify and sing praises unto the Lord, rejoicing in those things which I am doing through you, for those are the works of God. The grace of the Father is this. He reckons these works to your account. He reckons my work in you to your account. Become not discouraged at seeming failures, for you do not as yet understand as I understand. These seeming failures have been going on ever since the fall of man. If you become discouraged from pressing toward the mark, that is the only thing that will prevent you from seeing the victory over apparent seeming failures. It is not my will that the enemy ever succeed in any way in any of my children's lives. It is only by the revelation of me in them, the release of power from the Anointed One within, that causes these destructions to cease. Be not discouraged. Be not discouraged by what you see, and be not discouraged at what people say. Mourn with them, for they hurt. But do not divert from the path of the quest to know me. For in me and in the revelation of me is your victory. That victory can be transmitted by the anointing. It can flow literally. I have few vessels where my victory can now flow. I have few. But if you will stay on the path of quest, And if you will seek to know me myself and who I am in you, my victory can literally flow from you to them. They can learn and they can grow. As Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. And as you, now he's saying this to all of us, as you follow me, they will follow you. And they will grow up. And they will walk in victory. Then that victory can be transmitted to others. See, this is revival. Be not discouraged, son. Be not discouraged. Let every seeming defeat cause you to press even harder toward the mark. Set your face like flint, as I set mine toward Jerusalem. Set your face like flint toward knowing me. To know me is your victory. Paul accounted it a foolish thing to speak of those things that I wrought through him as being works of his own. Therefore, he only related to those that were carnal those things that they could understand in the carnal realm. He spoke only of his infirmities, for he would not speak of my work as being his own. And even the speaking of his infirmities he counted as foolish. But to relate information to those who were carnal, he spoke in a manner they could understand, for they were being tormented and deceived by false apostles. Count it a foolish thing to ever speak of my work through you as being your own. It is my work. It is me working through you. Yet the reward shall be yours, says the Lord. Receive this as truth, for your mind has trouble understanding. You should know that the Father will fill your flesh completely with himself. We should say la. You remember say la? And we should pause and meditate on that for about a week, you know. Just not have any other thought but that. You should know that the Father will fill your flesh completely with himself. He who touches flesh, and that's the Father, must work through me, that's Christ, by the Spirit, through flesh, to flesh. For the Father to touch flesh directly would consume the flesh. Therefore, he works through me, by the Spirit, through you, through flesh, to flesh. Did you get that? It's like Jane see the ball. He's trying to get this down, or even Gary can understand it, you know. Remember when Moses wanted to see his face? Can't see my face and live. Had to hide him in the cleft of the rock, which is Christ, you know, type of Christ, the rock. How does the Father heal? He doesn't touch them directly. He works through Christ in us. Then he, through our flesh, he touches their flesh. So simple, really. The Father desires to touch. The Father desires to do the works. Continue on this path, my son. For this is the avenue, and this is the walk that the Father has chosen for you. We'll put that PDF again up with this message today, and you can have it and read it and share it and do whatever you want with it. I know I'm not smart enough to write things like that anyway. It's certainly not me. Then the other one, this one that I'm about, we're going to call today's lesson, No Counterfeit Love. No Counterfeit Love. Because one of the things that he said in here, we didn't teach on at length, but he says, this commandment I give unto you. I want you to love one another. We usually just quote it right there. We just stop. Love one another. That's not what he said. He said, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. He didn't tell us to love one another with human love. Amen. I got one good amen there. Hallelujah. I know. You agree with me. So here's another one. Now this one is not the same. This is a teaching that I wrote to myself. I first teach me, then I come teach you. Is that okay? This goes on for years. Some of these have been in the oven a long time, okay? So one day I wrote this. I wrote this little lesson. This is not quite the same. This is not verbatim him talking to me. This is a lesson that I wrote to myself, and I believe it's good to share today. Because it builds. See, if everything that's happened from December 15th, when I taught that lesson, the works of the Father, through Wednesday night when we finished John chapter 17, if that doesn't change us, we wasted our time. If nothing changes, we might as well have gone and watched the hockey games or the football or whatever's on right now. Okay. I heard myself praying. I was just minding my own business, praying in the Holy Ghost. I still remember this day. It was a long time ago. I was minding my business like you do, just praying in the Holy Ghost. And suddenly I'm hearing myself pray in English. So I heard myself praying this. Oh God, deliver us from counterfeit love. Deliver us from human love that is only a counterfeit of the true love of God. Human love cannot save, cannot deliver, and cannot heal. God, let your true love flow through us so the people may be helped. It was as if I was listening to someone else praying. I believe this prayer originated in my spirit, not my mind, because I was surprised to hear myself saying these words. I remembered a word of prophecy spoken to me years earlier. And the prophecy was this. I was exhorted to remember, Lord, this work is of you and not of man. We often misquote the command that Jesus gave to the church. Normally, we say that his commandment was that we love one another. We translate that into all sorts of actions, such as being nice to each other, comforting each other when we are sick, helping our brother financially when he needs it, and so forth. There's nothing wrong with those things, but the problem is, there is no divine intervention of the manifested love of God in those actions. The Lord told me years ago that human compassion is as deadly as poison when it is substituted for my compassion. Jesus did not command us. Go, by the way, be turning to John 15. I want you to see this in your Bible. Jesus did not command us to just love one another with human love. No. He said in John 15, verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Well, how did Jesus love us? He loved us by letting the love of the Father flow through him to the people. Let's take a case in point. Go over to Luke chapter 4 for a moment. We're going to look at the time when Peter's mother-in-law was sick and how Jesus ministered. I'll just tell you an interesting sidebar. For a few years, I had this really nice man living next door to us, and he was nice. We'd hey, how you doing? Out mowing the lawn, whatever, you know. And one day, somehow it came up about, I said something about Peter being married. He said Peter wasn't married. Peter's like the first pope, you know. I mean, he's not married. I said, well, sure he was. I said, one time Jesus even rebuked a fever out of his mother-in-law. He said, no, he didn't. I said, well, let me go get... I said, just a minute. I'll go in the house and get my Bible and be right back out. He says, oh, no, no, no. I'm not allowed to look at that. That's only for the priest. See how they keep control? Now, I'm not saying all of them, but where he went to church, that's the way they did it. And he was he carried his rosary all the time. He nearly always had that rosary in his hand. You know, I don't know what they do with that exactly. It wasn't very much longer after that, they moved. Now, I don't know if it was because of that or not. We always got along. We never argued, but I was just like, come on, let me just show you in the Bible. No, no, no. That's only for the priest. Thank God we have the Word of God. Amen. All right. So Luke 4, Luke 4, looking at verse 38. And he, speaking of Jesus, he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. That's Peter. Simon's what? Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. He stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately, say immediately, she arose and ministered unto them. I love that passage. I don't know. It doesn't tell, you know, you don't want to add to or take away anything. I mean, part of me goes, that had to be a devil causing that fever. Because I don't think fevers have ears. Did the fever hear the rebuke? But I don't know. All I know is he rebuked the fever and it says it. That's all I know. End result, it, the fever, if words mean anything, it left immediately. Revival is coming. Or say it another way, we're entering into revival. Okay? Now, the subject here is no counterfeit love. He said, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. Let's see how he loved Peter's mother. Okay? Notice that Jesus did not do what we normally would do in a similar situation. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to do any of these things. Okay? But there is a love of God that goes beyond these things. Jesus did not sit by her bedside for 2 weeks and comfort her as the fever ran its course through her body. Are we supposed to help people that are going through stuff? Absolutely. I'm not. Hear what I'm saying. He's trying to graduate us from the love of humans. That's not the way. From human love to the love of the Father. See, the love of the Father won't leave that fever in you. The love of the Father won't leave cancer in you. The love of the Father won't leave polio in you or whatever else it is. See? But what we normally do, I'm just read it like I wrote it. Jesus did not sit by her bedside for 2 weeks and comfort her as the fever ran its course through her body. He did not nurture her with hot soup. And he did not keep her tucked in with blankets. He did not read bedside stories to her to help uplift her soul as he consoled and comforted her. See, we do all those things, and I'm not saying we shouldn't, but let's go beyond those things. To do those things would be to love her with fallen human love, a love that has no power to deliver her from the problem. No. Jesus loved her with the love of the Father. The Father's love delivers. The Father's love is full of power. Let me say it another way. Jesus let the love of the Father flow through himself to her. Jesus loved us with the love of the Father. And this is his commandment. That we love one another as he loved us. Well, if we're going to love one another as he loved us, then we have to come to the place where we let the love of the Father flow through us. The Father wants to touch. The Father wants to fill our flesh with himself. The Father in him, Christ in us, the hope of glory. The works that I do shall you do also. Let's get beyond human love. Let's don't abandon. I didn't say abandon human love. But let's take it a step farther. Let's love one another like he loved us. And not just counterfeit human love. God has enough trouble getting people to walk in human love. Okay. I really does. Much less the love of the Father. No substitution of powerless human love for the love of the Father. Let's not substitute one for the other. We are to love as he loved us. And he loved us with the love of the Father. The Father himself was present within Jesus. See, we said it, we just went through John 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. But at that moment, he was the branch and the Father was the vine. That's why he said, without the Father, I can do nothing. Remember? I can do nothing of myself. It's the Father in me. See? All right? So the Father himself was present within Jesus. Do you know the Father himself is present within you? In Christ. Christ in you and the Father in him. We just went through a season of studying it in great detail. Jesus got it down to Jane, see the ball. Jane, it's the Father in me, I in you. Now go do the works. Oh. There's a movement in Europe right now where Christians are being... Remember that prophecy? The day's coming? Babies born with teeth? There's a movement going on right now in Europe where a person gets born again today and heals the sick tomorrow. I've seen it. I've seen it on video. Okay? Babies born with teeth. Hello, toothy people. Amen. Revival. We're coming into it now. Hallelujah. So the Father himself was present within Jesus, and the Father himself was able to flow through the physical body of Jesus in order to deliver the people. Okay? You don't have to turn there, but in John chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Does not that sound like, without me, you can do nothing. I am the vine. You are the branches. But here, before the resurrection, the Father was the vine and Jesus was the branch. And the Father flowed through him. He says, so the Son of himself can do nothing but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these that you may believe. So the Father showed Jesus what the Father himself doeth. Did you catch that? Himself doeth. It's the Father doing the works. It was God the Father doing the works through the physical body of Jesus. So the next logical question is, I'm still teaching myself. The next logical question is, how do we let the Father demonstrate his true, all-powerful, delivering love through us? People everywhere are laden down with many needs. Can we say amen to that? The Father desires to meet all of them because of his great love for them. Are we in agreement? All right. But how does he meet the needs of the people? And I was praying and listening. I said, I hear this verse bubbling up in my spirit. And it was Philippians 4:19. You don't have to turn there. But my God shall supply all your need. Now, we normally think of that in financial terms, and that's okay. But all your need, would that not include healing? My God shall supply all your need, okay? How? According to his riches, okay? How? By Christ Jesus. There it is. By Christ Jesus. It's by the anointing of Christ, the anointed one, within us. That is a delivery system. His Spirit within us. That is the delivery system for the love of the Father to flow through us. Now, I'm not speaking very much in this lesson about the Holy Spirit, but nothing happens without the Holy Spirit. Okay? All of this is manifested. If you really want to know the truth, whose Spirit is that? Well, that's the Father's Spirit. That's Christ's Spirit. See, our finite minds keep breaking it down because, here we have this infinite God. The Bible tells us all the time there's only one God. And there's not three. But he's trying to reveal himself to us. And apparently, the best way it can be done is God representing himself in three parts. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I don't know what it is. When we actually see him, I don't know what we're going to understand then. But apparently we can't understand it now. So the best we can do right now. But it's only God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, but there's only one God. Real quiet. That's the truth. So the Holy Spirit is involved in all of this. We're just not emphasizing that part today. What he's trying to emphasize is Christ in us, our hope of glory. And we've got to elevate our thinking to beyond chicken soup and warm blankets and reading nice stories to sick people. All of that is good, but only Christians can let the love of the Father do the works by letting his love. If we allow the Father's love, if we love them the same way Christ loved us, then the Father will get to touch them with his love. And when that happens, they're healed, or they're delivered, or they're off drugs, or whatever it is. Amen? Okay. So the anointing, the delivery system for the love of the Father to flow through us, the requisite is Christ in us, the anointed one. So it's Christ within us. The Father is within him. Did we not just read that? The Father does the works by the anointing of Christ within us, the perfect one. Jesus Christ, the righteous, is within us. Jesus Christ is come now, present tense, in the flesh, but now he's within our flesh. The mystery of the gospel is, Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Bible unashamedly states that the living Christ, the anointed one, is within us, and the Father dwells within him. So why is it that we do not see more of the works of the Father being done through the living Christ within us? Well, you can only come to one conclusion. It's because of our unbelief. Did anyone ever hear Jesus teach a cure for unbelief? This kind cometh not out but by prayer and feasting. Was that it? No? That's how I used to read it. That's right. It's prayer and fasting. You still got a week left in this month. First quarter of the year. If you haven't started, you got a week left. But it is Christ. Now, go ahead and turn to this one. This one's good. Ephesians, well, they're all good. This one, though, is less understood. Ephesians 3. Let's look at verse 17 through 19. Y'all getting anything out of this? I am. It's a good to be put in remembrance, and it's good to take a step beyond human love. So Ephesians 3, picking it up in verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. Now notice, by faith. It's not automatic. Your faith is involved in this. You just don't know. See, I'm speaking words, but I'm seeing pictures. Okay, it's hard. Okay. These babies born with teeth that I mentioned a while ago, part of the reason why. You remember when I said we had those lessons about the 4-minute mile? Remember that nobody could run the 4-minute mile? And there was great, if you really went back and researched it, you would find where all these educated people wrote doctoral thesis about how nobody would ever, ever break the 4-minute mile. It's physically impossible. You know, your legs would fall off or something, you know. And then finally somebody broke it. And right after that, somebody else broke it. And then a whole bunch of people broke it. And now they break it all the time. Okay? These people that I saw this little movie of, where they get saved one day and they go out and heal the sick the next day. Part of the reason why, they saw it on the very day they got saved. They saw somebody doing it. In fact, a lot of them, it was done to them. Hey, it's a little different. Once you've seen it, it's like that 4-minute mile. It's why we keep saying, once we start breaking into this, I'm telling you, all of us are going to break into this. I can do that. I mean, let's just take, for example, Mike sitting right there.
I go, come on now.
I love Mike. That's the reason I can do this.
If you saw Mike lay hands on somebody and they got healed, what would you think?
If God can heal through Mike.
I mean, Mike.
Well, he can sure heal through me. I mean,
there's a big part of truth to that. Something, there's a barrier in your mind that gets broken when you see it.
See? Ephesians 3, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Say it with me. He's in me. Christ is in me. I believe it. From my hair to my socks. I believe it completely. And the Father's in him. Which means the Father's in me. When I lay hands on the sick, they recover. When I cast out devils in his name, they go. And so forth and so forth and so forth. Amen? Amen? That you, now notice, being rooted and grounded in love. That's the Father's love. That's the love he's talking about today. Not a counterfeit, wishy-washy human love. Powerless. And I'm not belittling it. Thank God. I've been through stuff. I've been through polio. I've been through heart problems. I've been through cancer twice. I've been through stuff. Okay? It's good to have someone there to hold your hand and bring you chicken soup. It's better for someone to come and drive the cancer out of my body. That's all I'm saying. It's good to do those things. We need good friends to help us. But let's go beyond there. That's what he's trying to do. And I'll give you the example again of Jesus. We want to be like Jesus?
Yes.
Jesus didn't fix no chicken soup for Peter's grandma. Peter's mother-in-law. Thank you. He didn't fix no chicken soup. He didn't read her no bedtime stories, didn't tuck her in with no binky, no blankie. Come out! Fever? And the fever left. Let's have some of that love. Let's have some of that love. Let's minister the love of the Father. Okay. But you got to be rooted and grounded in love. So that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. Now notice, which passes knowledge. This gets in your heart. This is more than just, it's in your head, of course, but it's more than, Sue and I got a heart thing going on. It's been going on for about a half century, really. It's a heart thing. Been married for 40 years. It's beyond, my head still can't figure out why that woman puts up with me. There's two things on this earth I know. Jesus loves me. And Sue loves me. And I have a hard time understanding why either of them do. See, so this love goes beyond my knowledge, doesn't it? Goes beyond my knowledge. She loves me. Jesus loves me. We got to know that love of Christ which passes knowledge. But notice when that happens. There it is again. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And the path to that is love. And Christ in you by faith. See, faith which works by love. I didn't look that verse up. It's in Galatians, I think. Faith which worketh by love. See? It's the love of the Father. Manifested through Christ. Hallelujah. Now notice that phrase. To know the love of Christ. I'm reading from my lesson to myself again. This is the love wherewith we are supposed to love one another, according to the commandment of Jesus. In other words, my commandment is love one another as I have loved you. Well, he loved us with the love of the Father. We have not known that to love one another as he loved us is to let the Father's love flow through us. See, that's real love. This is the love wherewith he loved us, with the love of the Father. Love
that saves. Love that delivers. Love that heals. Love that has power. Notice also that it is only after we know the love of Christ that we are filled with all the fullness of God. What could this mean except that the Father Himself will fill us with Himself through Christ within us? I cannot help but remember what the Lord said to me through tongues and interpretation. I've already read this to you once. I'm remembering in that lesson something He said from "You are rewarded for my works." I'm going to read it again. Now, let me read that verse, that you might, the end of it, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Got that? He said to me, "Receive this as truth, for your mind has trouble understanding. You should know that the Father will fill your flesh completely with Himself." Hold out your right arm. We're going to prophesy. Prophesy to your right arm. Say, "You are about to be filled with God the Father. You are about to be filled with the fullness of God. The Father is about to fill you with Himself." Pretty soon you'll be going through the mall. Who's next, Father? Who's next? Who's next? Aha! Wheelchair. You should know that the Father will fill your flesh completely with Himself. He who touches flesh, that's the Father, must work through me, that's Christ, by the Spirit, through, that's really the Holy Spirit, through flesh to flesh. Did you get that? For the Father to touch flesh directly would consume the flesh. And again, I remind you of Moses. See, we've got the same flesh like Moses had. Our spirit's been reborn, but you got the same old stinking, you got that same old fallen flesh just like Moses had. And he says, "You can't see my face and live." It's, you know. So the Father, He doesn't touch directly. This is how He does it. And Jesus went through this meticulously. We just went through it, John 14, 15, 16, and 17. Meticulously, He got down to Jane C. the ball. This is how it works. And He's just saying it a little different way to me many years before I knew it was in Scripture. "Therefore, He works through me," that's through Christ, "by the Spirit, through you, through flesh, to flesh." The Father desires to touch. The Father desires to do the works. Continue on this path, my son. This is the avenue and this is the walk that the Father has chosen for you. Well, He's chosen it really for all of us. This is the believer's anointing. Believers, those that believe in my name, they shall cast out devils. They'll lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Speak with new tongues, so forth. Teaching to myself. So as I meditate these things, my mind immediately begins to think on all of my faults and all of my imperfections. I begin to look at my own wretchedness compared to Jesus, and I despise myself. Immediately I begin to think, be turning to Acts 3. Immediately I begin to think of many areas of my life that would have to be changed in order to become holy enough for the Father to work like that through me. We are to pursue holiness. Am I in the right church? Yes. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Amen? Amen. Pursue holiness as far as possible with you. Walk at peace with all men and so forth. We are supposed to be look in the mirror and see Jesus and be changed into that same image from glory to glory and so forth. All of those lessons. We are to pursue holiness and to become more. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. All of that is so, but look what Peter said in Acts 3. Right after he healed, right after the Lord used him to heal the lame man. Verse 12. when Peter saw it, they were all bragging on Peter. They were all, wow, you must be somebody after that happened. But he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or what? Or holiness we had made this man to walk. And you know, just a couple of verses down, he said, it is that name, through faith in that name. Here we go, faith again. Go to John 6. See, Jesus only said, he only ever gave us really one requirement when it comes to working the works of God. Now again, we are to pursue holiness. See, I'll just tell you all that. Time out from the video. Nobody will ever see this part. I'm teasing. Don't tell the church. Don't tell the rest of the church world. You know, I've been delivered from cigarettes a long time now. But I wasn't delivered for a long time. As a Christian, Spirit-filled minister Christian, I don't tell anybody. I have seen the Lord cure cancer through my nicotine-stained fingers. I have seen it. I saw him cast out a devil one time when I was smoking like a freight train. Do I recommend that? Do I recommend that? Do I think that's the path to power, smoking? No, I'm just like Peter. Why look you on me as though by my own power or my own holiness anything of God has ever happened? No. We have the perfect one in us. We have the righteous one in us. Now, we are to pursue holiness. We are to pursue confirmation to his image. But the truth of it is, you can heal the sick today. You can cast out devils today. If you believe, John 14, 15, 16, and 17, if you believe what Jesus said. So look here at John 6. They asked him the question. Verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Is that not the question? What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them. Now, you've got to notice this. They asked plural. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Plural. We want to do works, not one, many. They asked plural. But he answers singular. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? He answered and said unto them, this is the, boy, if you underline, you ought to underline the. This is the work of God. We have one work. What is that work? That you believe on him who he hath sent. Sent where in our dispensation? Sent where? In you. In you. That's what we have to believe. That God has sent this perfect, anointed, risen Christ in you. And he's in there. And the Father's in him. And everywhere we go, we are the temple of God. You're the mobile temple of the living God. When you walk in the room, deliverance walked in the room. Salvation walked in the room. Healing walked in the room. Mental health walked in the room. Provision walked in the room when you walked in. It's Christ in you. That is the work. Believe it. Christ in you. That is the work of God, that God has sent him in you. To them, it just meant he had sent him to them. You know, like they saw him. That's not the gospel to us. The gospel to us, He has sent Christ in you. That's the revelation. That's the great mystery that's been hidden from the foundation of the world, but now has been made known. Christ in you. This is the work. Believe it. Work on believing it. This is a work you're allowed to do. Believe it. Well, what if I don't believe it? This kind cometh not out. You remember? This kind cometh not out, but by prayer and fasting. The Holy Spirit will help you. Prayer and fasting. Build your spirit man up. Praying on the building yourself up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Do you remember the next verse? What's the next verse? Keeping yourselves in the what? In the love of God. And then fasting, like David's taught us, bringing that flesh lower. Bringing it lower. Where you're not walking like a natural person, limited to natural thinking, limited to natural world thoughts. Where your thinking goes beyond chicken soup and hot blankets. I'm going to drive that fever right out of you. Drive that cancer right out of your body in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. That's the work of God. No more counterfeit love. Substituting human love for the love of the Father. It's powerless. My reborn spirit and yours is the Holy of Holies. That's where Christ dwells on the earth. The type and shadow from the Old Testament. See, and the thing about the Ark of the Covenant, they took it with them. When you went into battle, you took it into battle with you. What was in there? The presence of God. What's in you? The presence of God. Power. I mean, the enemies were afraid of that thing. They don't have nothing to do with that Ark of the Covenant. And the truth of it is, the enemy don't want to have nothing to do with you. He's been doing everything he can. Throwing kitchen sinks at your head. Everything in the world trying to stop you from believing this. Stop you from understanding this. He's afraid. Because if you ever really start walking as the Ark of the Covenant that you truly are. The temple of God that you truly are. He has no power. Not over you. Not over Christ in you. I have given you, behold, I have given you power over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Whew. So my reborn spirit and yours is the Holy of Holies where Christ dwells on the earth. The Anointed One is come within our flesh. He is perfect, though I am not. My only work is to believe on Him. The love of the Father, including the works of the Father, flow through the perfect One who dwells within me. Lord Jesus, say this with me. Lord Jesus, Christ within me, I believe on You. Whom God hath sent. Father, teach me how to let Your love flow through the Anointed One who dwells in me.